Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 14 to 34. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He is Elijah," and others said, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias's daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Scott Adel from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois.
The Gospel of Mark begins with John in the wilderness, calling people to repentance, to a forgiveness of their sins and baptism. And in that message, John was unfailing. If people came to him, and they did, quite a few of them, this is what John preached, that they were all sinners in need of forgiveness. John did not dilute this message, not even for those who could cause him trouble. Whether the person was a priest or Pharisee or even a soldier, John did not hold back, calling them names and telling them not to think that their ancestry ensured them God's favor. Even those descended from Abraham were still in the same predicament. And when the ruler of the territory goes and sins publicly, John calls him on it. He tells Herod that it was not right for him to take another man's wife. When Herod has John arrested and brought to him, John says this to Herod's face. And this was not because John had no respect for authority. These days we can find all sorts of people who will gladly speak out against our rulers or our country or our traditions and culture, claiming to speak truth to power. There's big business in that kind of thing. But that was not John's deal, and he didn't have the protection of the First Amendment. He wasn't a rebel for the money or the fame, or just because he liked to raise a ruckus. John had a very high respect for authority, and it is that trait that gets him arrested. Because John has a respect for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is God that John fears above all, which is what emboldens him to speak as he does. John knows all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so he proclaims that all are sinners. He knows the commandment about not committing adultery, and so when he sees it, he does not hold his tongue. It is John's respect for God and God's word that gets him into all of his troubles. John was sent out to a crooked and twisted people. Isaiah says of John that he will prepare the way of the Lord by making his way straight, by lifting up the low and bringing down the high, by making things level. This is why John calls to repentance. Sin twists and corrupts. What should be straight is straight no longer, and we attempt to cover that up with the excuses and justifications we use to disobey God. Therefore, forgiveness is needed. We need the Lord to pass by our sins, lest we be laid waste. Jesus is the only one John does not call a sinner. In fact, John has trouble seeing why Jesus comes to him to be baptized. John knows that this Jesus is the one who takes away the sins of the world, that it would be upon Jesus that our sins would be laid and taken away. This is what John proclaims. It is what Jesus proclaimed too, which is why Herod recognizes Jesus' speech as familiar to his ear. It is also what Paul and the apostles and the pastors down through the ages have proclaimed, because it is the word of the Lord. This is the message that God sends pastors to proclaim to you also, that you are sinners who have fallen short of the measure of God. You too are in need of forgiveness, from the oldest to the very youngest. But I'm also pleased to say that God has forgiven your sins on account of his Son, Jesus Christ. You who have feared others more than God, who have listened to men and women more than you have to God, it is to you also that God puts words in your ears and in your mouth so that you say what you may never have come around to saying on your own. The words that I am a poor, miserable sinner. I deserve punishment both now and forevermore, and I appeal to the mercy of God. And so know also that God has sent another word, that you are forgiven. You shall live. This death and destruction shall not be forever. Although your ways are crooked, they will be made straight. The prideful will be humbled, even to death. But then from that humility, God will raise you up. He will resurrect you to be with him forever. The measure that we are compared to is Jesus Christ himself. And in him, the Father has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he has chosen you by baptism, so that you should be holy and blameless before him. Your ancestry does not matter, as the only ancestry that brings us into God's favor is to be of his own family. To be a child of God, to have his name placed upon you, happens in your baptism. That is a seal of the Holy Spirit, a guarantee by God of your inheritance of heavenly things, lasting unto eternity. Amen.
We thank Pastor Scott Adel from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, for today's meditation on God's Word.